Hello, friends. So happy to have you here with me today. Namo myoho renge kyo. Today, another short gosho. I'm not sure if we'll finish it in one sitting, but it's not that complex. This letter, another example of Nichiren's writings, is written to a lay nun named Myochi. Myoichi. Yeah, Myoichi. She's an elder woman raising children. Her husband died not long ago. Because she's a nun, she's obviously educated in Buddhist teachings, Buddhist expedient means, the stories of Buddhism, and the way Buddhism is taught. And so Nichiren will make reference to several well-known stories, parables within the teachings of Buddhism. And I'll give you little reminders as we go through them. So you've heard many of these before, but I just point this out as you can tell the person he's writing to. He writes differently. He uses the teachings that are expectedly known by the person he's talking to. He doesn't dive deeply into them. He assumes they'll understand the meaning, right? Now, this woman, Myoichi, if you don't understand the socioeconomic realities of Japan at 13th century, there are peasants or fiefs, serfs, working the land. It was very agrarian, or horses or cattle along with the land, who were basically what we would have called in the West slaves. But even though they were of a low class, they were very well taken care of because they were the engine of commerce. And the small landowners would take care of them, feed them, and so forth. But the landowners themselves would be of a different strata, social strata, right? And they, in turn, would answer to a larger landowner of which they owned a parcel, or what would be called a fiefdom. And all those fiefdoms collectively would be part of a kingdom, all domain hierarchies, right? Ultimately answering to the ruling class, as any authoritarian society, ruling with an iron fist of the samurai, who were not only trained for war against foreign enemies in foreign lands like the Mongols or China or whatever, but also warring against other kingdoms, sections of Japan, right? And the local police. So the samurai were involved in enforcement at all levels. You can imagine today if our police forces were armed the way our national defense, and we've seen examples that are pretty close in recent history, so it's actually quite intimidating, frightening. All right, so with that, let us read this gosho titled Winter Always Turns to Spring. So you can tell by the title, it's already going to be a letter of encouragement. But the analogy comes from expedient means. So let's see how that works. To the lay nun Myoichi, if the sun and moon were not in the heavens, how could plants and trees grow? Human beings have both a father and a mother. It is hard for children to grow up when even one parent is missing. Your husband had to leave behind a daughter, a son who is ill, and you, their mother, who suffer from a poor constitution. Now, this is a situation, I will remind you, where If you were a follower, if you let it be known that you were a follower, a believer in the Lotus Sutra doctrines taught by Nichiren, then you were subject to a lot of pressure socially and, as I was saying, samurai, acting on behest of the lord of that kingdom. And this particular lord was very adamantly against Nichiren. And so he took their fiefdom, basically took their farm and all the laborers. And they still worked the farm, but they didn't own any of the proceeds. So that left them quite destitute. And as a result of all of this loss and his stress, and this husband, this man, he was very concerned for Nichiren's life. And probably that motivated him to rail against these forces, but he ended up dead. And now the wife and the children are left without a husband, without a father, without a means for production. They were in desperate times, right? So Nichiren continues. To whom could they have entrusted his family before leaving this world? At the time of his extinction, the world honored one, the great enlightened, of the great enlightenment, Shakyamuni. He lamented, quote, "Now I am about to enter Nirvana. The only thing that worries me is King Ajatashatru." Bodhisattva Kashyapa then asked him, quote, "Since the Buddha's mercy is impartial, your regret in dying should stem from compassion for all living beings. Why do you single out only King Ajatashatru?" The Buddha replied, "Suppose that a couple has seven children, one of whom falls ill. Though the parent loves all the children equally, they worry most about the sick child." End quote. Tendai, commenting on this sutra passage in his Great Concentration and Insight, said, quote, "Even if the parents of the seven children are never partial, they are still particularly concerned about the sick one." End quote. In essence, the sutra is saying that even if there are many children, the parents' hearts are with the child who is ill. To the Buddha, all living beings are his children. Among them, the sinful man who slays his own parents and becomes an enemy of the Buddha and the sutras is like the sick child. King Ajatashatru was the ruler of Magadha. He murdered his father, King Bimbisara, right? We read this not long ago, a powerful patron of Shakyamuni Buddha, right? He was the younger brother who was angry that his older brother didn't measure up to what he thought was honor and filial piety to his father, and so he killed him and took over. But unfortunately, he was not a believer in the Lotus Sutra or Nichiren's doctrine thereof. Anyway, he continues, and became an enemy of the Buddha. So he made it his concern to really rail against the Lotus Sutra. In consequence, the heavenly gods forsook him, the sun and moon rose out of rhythm, and the earth shook violently to cast him off. There were many disasters at the time. All his subjects defied the Buddha's teachings. They did this by practicing Nembutsu, right? And other kingdoms began to attack Magadha. All this happened because King Ajatashatru took the wicked Devadatta for his teacher. As a result, one day, virulent sores broke out all over his body, and it was foretold that on the seventh day of the third month, he would die and fall into the hell of incessant suffering. Saddened by this, the Buddha was reluctant to enter Nirvana. He lamented, quote, "If I can save King Ajatashatru, I can save all offenders in this same way." Now, why did he give this example? "Your late husband," he continues, "had an ailing son and a daughter. I cannot help thinking that he may have grieved that If he were to abandon them and leave this world, his aged wife, as feeble as a withered tree, would be left alone and would probably feel very sorry for these children. In addition, he may also have worried about Nichiren, which is he did. Since the Buddha's words are in no way false, the Lotus Sutra is sure to spread widely. In that regard, perhaps your husband felt that certainly something would happen and this monk would become highly respected. When I was exiled, contrary to his expectations, he must have wondered how the Lotus Sutra and the Ten Demon Daughters could possibly have allowed it to happen. Were he still living, how delighted he would be to see Nichiren pardoned. How glad he would be to see that my prediction has been fulfilled now that the Mongol Empire has attacked Japan and the country is in a crisis. These are the feelings of ordinary people. So he's talking about the situation of her husband, what's happened to Nichiren in the meantime, how they were both supporters of Nichiren. Nichiren was exiled, and before he could be pardoned, the husband died. How happy he would be to see that the predictions Nichiren had made have been fulfilled, even though they're negative. Mongols, invading, it was predicted by Nichiren, and so there is some feeling of pride in knowing that you're on the right side of history, right? Even though he's passed away. Continuing, those who believe in the Lotus Sutra are as if in winter, but winter always turns to spring. So he's talking specifically about the time where Japan is in crisis. And those who believe in the Lotus Sutra are in a precarious position, like winter. But this will, spring is coming. So these are words of encouragement. Never from ancient times on has anyone heard of or seen of winter turning back into autumn. Nor have we ever heard of a believer in the Lotus Sutra who turned into an ordinary person. In other words, someone who's ignorant of the Lotus Sutra. Once you know it, you know it. The sutra reads, quote, "If there are those who hear the law, then not one will fail to attain enlightenment or Buddhahood. Your husband gave his life for the Lotus Sutra. His entire livelihood depended on a small fief, and that was confiscated because of his resolve in the Lotus Sutra. Surely that equals giving his life for the Lotus Sutra." Now he refers to one of those expedient means. "The boy Snow Mountains was able to give his body for a half verse of a Buddhist teaching, and Bodhisattva Medicine King was able to burn his arms as an offering to the Buddha because both were sages. And it was likely pouring water on fire. But your husband was an ordinary person, not because he was ignorant of the Lotus Sutra, but because he hadn't attained full enlightenment yet." So it can be a little confusing, that term. "So it was like putting paper in fire. Because of his resolve for the Lotus Sutra, he was not a great sage or a bodhisattva yet, so he stirred up the fires, right? Therefore, he must certainly have received blessings as great as theirs." So, because he gave his life for the Lotus Sutra, even though he was not a bodhisattva or a sage, he gained the same benefits. So that's another kind of a spiritual encouragement, if you will. Continuing, "He is probably watching his wife and children in the heavenly mirrors of the sun and moon every moment of the day and night. Since you and your children are ordinary persons, you cannot see or hear him. Neither can the deaf hear thunder nor the blind see the sun, but never doubt that he is protecting you. Moreover, he may be close at hand." So, as we always rhetoricize, even in the West, our dear departed are never far away. They're in our hearts, right? They continue their karmic resistance or resilience is maintained in our own because of our deep karmic connections. "Just when I was thinking that if at all possible I must somehow come and see you, you had sent a robe to me. This was a totally unexpected circumstance. Since the Lotus Sutra is the noblest of all sutras, I may yet gain influence in this lifetime. If so, rest assured that I will look after your children, whether you are still living or are watching from under the sod. While I was in the province of Sado and during my stay here at Minobu, you sent your servant to help me. In what lifetime could I ever forget what you have done for me? I will repay this debt of gratitude by serving you in the future. Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. So, a letter of great concern and support for this woman, whom Nichiren obviously values greatly as one of his students, disciples. Just another example of Nichiren making sure to communicate with all of those who do honorable acts of following the Lotus Sutra. The robe gift seems to be common right now in the last few Gosho. But certainly, with the architecture of the time and the socioeconomic pressures of the time, and certainly being an outcast as Nichiren was, clothing and food were primary concerns, right? So you can also get a sense for how desperate the situation is amongst the regular people of Japan, let alone the workers, the fiefs, right? And with that, I will close this talk on the Go Show. And the next one, I'm not sure how long it'll be, but I sure enjoy your being here to listen to me talk about these things. I hope that I spark some insights or some curiosities for you to do further research on your own. In any way, strengthen your practice. That's my goal here, and I hope in some small way I achieve it, largely thanks to your participation. So thank you once again. I'm so grateful. Namo myoho renge kyo. Stay healthy. See you next time.